If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Court Appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Well, today, Tommy, we're going to tackle one of the law's most dramatic subjects.
Dramatic? Does it need music to accompany it?
It does.
Dun, dun, dun.
Divorce.
Divorce.
Yes. The big D.
The big D. For you, it's a double D.
we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
And we may have to edit that out.
You don't want to talk about double Ds?
And as
as we were saying,
today's topic is going to be divorce. Divorce is, as everyone probably knows, the method that you go about severing a marriage and the bonds that you have taken as a vow or something. I don't know.
Do you know what you're saying?
Not really. I was kind
of. Are you inebriated counselor?
No. I only had one beer.
Oh, okay.
And half of another one.
All right.
And a couple shots. And a hit off this helium balloon. So today's episode is
I want scotch. I want beer.
No, but the divorce is basically the legal process of separating the legal marriage that you did, not necessarily in, like, you know, the church or things like that, but that's
severing the bonds of holy matrimony, as it were.
Divorce is the legal proceeding which severs the legal marriage that you basically, whenever you filed it with the government. So it has nothing to do with, like, in the church or different religious type things. It's all about the government.
So we're getting divorced for the government, but as far as your religion goes, you're still married.
Yeah, you got to take that up with your priest, preacher,
rabbi,
minister,
evangelical,
yeah,
cult leader,
yeah, drink the whatever. Kool-Aid, whatever. So,
well, if you're Mormon, you might still be married.
That's true. You might be divorced from that wife, but
yeah, you got three or four more waiting.
I don't know. I have to consult
sister wives on that.
Yeah, that's my real experience with Mormonism is sister wives.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think that's actually a Mormon thing anymore.
Polygamy?
Yeah, polygamy.
Well, it may not be a thing, but it's every man's dream, isn't it?
No.
No?
No. I've had wives.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same time. And
one is enough, huh?
One
is that what you're saying?
One is enough.
Okay.
One is more than enough.
Well, since I'm married to your sister, I'll just say she's more than enough for me.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that, Tommy.
I'm a lucky man, a lucky man.
Yes, you are. The way the divorce proceeds is somebody decides they want to get divorced, and they'll file a petition with the court. And it used to be that you had to allege some sort of fault to get divorced, but these days it's all about no-fault divorce. You don't have to allege that anybody did anything wrong. You just say, hey, I'm divorced to this person. The bonds of marriage are irretrievably broken, and I don't want to be married to them anymore.
That was a surprise to me when we were doing research for this, is that you had to prove a fault, and the judge had to have one person that was at fault and one person that was innocent, and then he would grant a divorce. But if both people had done something wrong, he'd say, nope, I'm not granting the divorce. You're both guilty, so you're stuck with each other.
Yeah.
That's like the worst thing in the world. How could the government do that? No, we're not going to allow you to get divorced just because you're both cheating on each other, because you're both breaking the rules. So you gotta stay married.
If they were both cheating on each other, I kind of like that, though. It's like, you deserve each other.
Well, no, but think about if there's kids. That's a terrible situation.
Yeah, that would be bad.
I mean, you force two people that don't like each other, and they come in, they say, we want to get divorced, and the judge says, nope. Can't do it. You're both at fault. You got to stay married.
Sorry, my bad.
And that was all the way up till the 1960s.
Yeah.
I mean, I was around then, and I knew that in my neighborhood, I don't remember anybody that got divorced in the whole neighborhood. I take that back. There was one person, and all the other women gossiped about her.
Really?
Yeah, because she got divorced. But that was the way it was then. That was the 60s. But now it seems so much more prevalent. I mean, it seems like that it happens all the time, but now you have no-fault divorce. You don't have to. Somebody doesn't have to be responsible. You just say, hey, I want a divorce, and that's that.
In my experience, I can say it does happen all the time. And that is partly because I'm a lawyer.
Well, okay. So that would cover it. But California was actually the first state to adopt no-fault divorce.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing, because if you have two people that do not want to be together, or if you have one person that doesn't want to be together,
don't keep them there. That's only going to lead to bad things.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, you have a lot of feelings, and that's just bad. Yeah, bad news.
That's what I mean. I was really shocked to read that, because you know it could lead to all kinds of worse problems.
Yeah. So if you want to get divorced, then basically you allege in a petition that you want to get divorced, the bonds of marriage are irretrievably broken, and you pay your filing fee, which is generally considerably more than the filing fee to actually get married.
So they impose a higher fine on it to try to discourage you there too, huh?
Something like that.
The government really wants to keep you married.
Well, the old joke is like, well, why does it cost so much more to get divorced? Because it's worth it. It's like,
I like the one where the dad was walking his daughter down the aisle, and this was her third marriage, and he said, I don't understand it. I keep giving you away, and they keep giving you back.
Well, yeah, divorce is very prevalent in our society these days. There's different, each state has their own different laws about how they handle divorce. And some of them are they vary quite a bit, actually. One of the main differences is that some states have what's called equitable distribution, and some states are what's called community property. Most states actually follow the equitable distribution laws, and this basically means that any property acquired during the marriage belongs to the spouse who earned it. So in case of divorce, the property is divided between the spouses in a fair and equitable manner. There's no set rule in determining like who gets what or how much. The court considers all kinds of different factors. Some examples is the court may actually look at like the relative earning contributions of the different spouses, the value of one spouse staying at home or helping raise the children, and also the future earning potential of the children, or not the children, of the future earning future potential. Yeah.
Hey, this kid's worth a lot. I want to keep this one. You keep the one that's kind of lowbrow.
This kid's going to be a doctor. I got him.
Dibs. This other kid, he ain't going nowhere. Dibs. He's going to end up smoking dope and living in the basement.
But they look at the earning potential of each client. Each client. Well, maybe he'll be a drug dealer. There's a market. So a lot of times in these equitable distribution things, they talk about having like three different pots. There's like the wife's pot,
we're back to pot again.
The wife's pot, the husband's pot, and then the marital pot.
And after you get divorced, you don't have a pot to piss in.
That's right. And they kind of just throw things into each different pot based on these different factors. Community property is different. And basically in community property, the spouses are equally own all the income and assets that have been acquired during the marriage. So that means that basically the husband and the wife each equally own all money earned by either one during the marriage, even if only one spouse was employed during the entire time. So that's kind of a different take on how you're going to do it. The community property states are a minority, with most states being equitable distribution states. The community property states are Alaska, Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, and Wisconsin.
And California always seems to be the one you hear about because that's where all the movie stars live.
Right.
And those are the ones with the high dollar settlement divorces.
Yes.
And, you know, the one actor is married to a commoner and they're worth you know, $500 million, and then they get divorced, and then the commoner walks away with half of the $500 million.
Well, that's
and the actor says, "I earned all that. What are you doing? That's my money."
That's because the actor didn't have a good lawyer and get a prenup.
That's right. That was the thing that was missing, was a prenup. Now, that prenup holds up even in a community property state?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it depends by state. Each state has their different laws on how, when we say prenup, we mean prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial, like meaning before marriage.
Us expert people know it as a prenuptial agreement.
So.
It's a prenup, and we say in the biz.
Exactly. But each state's going to have their own laws governing prenups, and there might be different procedures and different things that have to be in prenups for them to be enforceable. But generally, yeah, they're enforceable in all states. And they essentially outline what's going to happen in case of a divorce. For example, if I was a movie star in California, I was getting a prenup, I would say like, oh yeah, any money earned during my career as a movie star is going to be mine, and I will give you nothing. No, you can't say nothing. You'd probably have to give them something. But anyway, you'd say basically outline what's going to happen in case you get divorced. So that's what a prenup does.
You can say, I'm going to keep all the money and you get nothing. You get the privilege of having been married to me.
Yes. And you can ride that for the rest of your life.
There's no more riding that after you're divorced.
No more what?
Riding that.
Riding what?
You said you can ride that the rest of your life.
Oh, you can ride the coattails of having been married to me the rest of your life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You didn't finish that very well.
I had to sneeze.
I didn't know what you meant by ride that.
Oh.
I've say there's no more of that after you get divorced.
Yeah, well, there could be, but it's probably frowned upon.
That's a post-nup.
A post-nup? I think you're one letter off there. So there is such thing called a post-nuptial agreement, too, and those are agreements that you enter into actually after you're married. Post-nuptial agreements are a bit more rare, and usually I don't think they hold up as well.
Why would somebody have any incentive to sign one of those? I understand why somebody would have incentive to want the other person to sign it, but I don't understand why the other person would. And once you're married, what are you exchanging?
The person's
threatening to divorce you? Well, now you're doing it under coercion.
Yeah.
I don't see how that could hold up.
Well, that's one of the things when you're looking at prenups, whether or not they hold up. There's certain different things that have to be observed when you're doing a prenuptial agreement to make sure they're valid and enforceable. And coercion is one of the classic ones. And that's like if you give somebody a prenuptial agreement, like the night before you're supposed to get married and say, you've already planned this big marriage, you have all your family here. And then the night before the marriage, you say, hey, I need you to sign this prenup. Otherwise, I'm not going to marry you. That wouldn't be enforceable because basically at that point, you are coercing them or putting them under undue influence to sign this prenup. So most prenups need to be like executed and gone over and negotiated at least probably, 6 to 7, even 8 months out to really have the air of a bargain for agreement. Because otherwise it's, too soon, close to the marriage.
It's funny you should mention that. I actually have a top 10 reasons a premarital agreement may be invalid.
Well, let's lay them on me.
Number one, no written agreement.
Well, yeah.
It says, hey, look, we agreed. This is the way it was going to be. We talked about this. Nope, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly under the statute of frauds.
Not properly executed is number two.
I didn't sign it.
Both parties must sign it in agreement before the wedding date in order for it to be considered valid. Not properly. I read that one. You were pressured. Premarital agreement may not be valid if one of the spouses was pressured by the other. And there's a whole variety of ways you could pressure somebody into it.
Oh, what? You sound like an expert in that.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, when you think of pressure, it could be, like you said, they spring it on you at the last minute.
Yeah.
Do this or we're going to cancel the whole wedding.
Right.
Or it could be, if you do it, I'll give you a boat, a yacht or something like that. Mm-hmm. Put some kind of financial or property type thing on it. Something to do with the kids.
Yeah.
Could be something if there's kids involved or something like that. Or maybe you say, I know I told you I didn't want to have any children. And I know you really want to, but I'll go ahead and have that child if you want to, if you'll sign this.
Yeah.
There's lots of different ways you could go about that, is what I'm saying. There was no joke there. It was just, there's lots of different ways.
just suggestions out there for any of you would-be prenups that want to pressure somebody into it.
That's right. There's your methods of how to pressure them. Now this one, I don't agree with this one. You didn't read it. So your spouse to be hands you a prenup, say, I need you to sign this prenuptial agreement. And you say, okay. And you sign it. Or the other way around, I need you to sign this prenuptial agreement.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, either one, the wife or the husband can have the agreement, but you don't read it. Now you go into court and you say, yes, here was this document that says, even though my husband makes $100 million a year, I said I'd settle for $25,000 a year. You know, nobody's going to believe that.
As an attorney, I would not want to make that argument. I'm just saying.
I can't believe that. You didn't read it. No time for consideration.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
That's kind of like the one that you said. Yeah. No time and pressure would kind of be run right in there together. Invalid provisions. Things like it cannot modify child support. Child support's outlined usually by the state law or whatever.
Right. No parent can actually contract away the right of support for a child.
Yeah, there's certain provisions in the state law, and you can't sign a prenup that overrides certain provisions in there.
Right.
False information.
Oh, yeah. Usually, whenever I did prenuptial agreements, I would take, like, whenever you file for divorce, you have to do what's called a financial affidavit. You basically have to disclose to the other spouse what your finances are. Whenever I did prenups, I would always have my clients fill out a financial affidavit that you, the same that you do for a divorce, and attach that to the prenup. So there was a full disclosure of whatever it is they had as their assets.
So if the guy says, I only have $50,000, and then you find out after you sign the prenup that he actually had $50 million.
That would be fraud.
That would be fraud.
and ergo, unenforceable.
And this kind of runs along, number eight kind of runs along with false information. It's incomplete information.
Right.
So you left off the yacht and the horses that you race in the Kentucky Derby and stuff like that, you didn't have listed in there as information.
Oh, I didn't know you had 10,000 shares of Microsoft.
I didn't know you owned an island.
Yeah.
No independent counsel. Because there's separate interests are at stake, both parties to a premarital contract should, and in some states must, be represented by their own attorney or the agreement will not be enforced.
Yeah.
So it can't just be that you're, like the husband came home and said, here, sign this.
Right. If I've ever had a client that wanted me to do a prenup, and the other, I only represented one side, and I always advise the other side, look, you should go get an attorney and review this.
Now, this last one is certainly a judgment call, but I think it leaves the door open for anything to happen. Unconscionability.
Yep.
And it basically says, if the agreement is so grossly unfair that one party would face severe financial hardship while the other prospered, the court is unlikely to enforce it.
That would be unconscionable.
Unconscionable. But it kind of leaves the door open. You know, it's like a judge. I'll know it when I see it.
Exactly.
That seems to be what a lot of these things all come back to. I'll know it when I see it.
Divorce law is kind of, it's based on a bit on fairness, I think. That's what the judge tries to do whenever they're splitting these things up during a divorce. But most cases actually don't go to a final hearing. I think, I know very few, actually.
Well, there's a very good reason for that.
Why is that?
A contested divorce becomes a matter of public record. So all the things that you're arguing about, all your dirty laundry gets aired for anybody to look at. Whereas if you reach a mutual agreement and file it, nobody gets to see what's going on then.
Right. Well, I guess the proceeding itself could be public as well. So basically anybody can come in the courtroom and sit there and watch.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that would go on you just don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
That's like the sausage being made, where they were in the room with the sausage.
In the room with the sausage meat packer's room. Yeah. You don't want to see sausage made.
You don't want to see sausage made.
So I think a lot of prenups, though, they deal mainly with the right to alimony. Alimony is the big thing, because nobody wants to have to pay alimony.
You know the alimony that always makes me mad? I mean, it really pisses me off. It grinds my gears.
What's that, Peter?
The one... they got that thing going around on Facebook now that you show the three characters that represent your personality.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
There? I don't know how to put pictures on Facebook or how to put mine in there, but...
Who'd your three be, then?
It'd be Homer Simpson.
Oh!
Peter Griffin. Or Griffith, I guess. Griffin. That's right. Peter Griffin. and Al Bundy.
Yeah.
Those would be my three. I don't know how to put pictures up there, how to put them up.
Those are kind of the same character to a certain degree.
That's me.
It's not much variance.
Hey, though. I'm consistent. But what the hell was I saying? what grinds my gears?
About alimony.
Yeah, about alimony. Oh, I know what it is. When you got like two actors, mm-hmm. I mean, because those are the things I read about. I don't read about Joe Schmo down the street that got divorced. Those aren't sensational. Who cares about that? But it's when you got like two actors that get divorced and say one of the actors, he didn't make very good movies. He mm-hmm. didn't make good choices. And he really wasn't nobody wanted to watch him.
Right.
But he got married to a girl who was an actress, and then her career took off and she made a lot of money. Then they get divorced. He turns around and he wants alimony because he only has $100,000 a year and she makes $5 million a year. And he wants alimony from her. Man, that grinds my gears.
Well, let me ask you this question. What happens if they had two children during that marriage and he stayed at home with the kids a lot and took care of the kids while she was making movies? Do you see any reason why he should get more money then?
I understand what you're saying there, devil's advocate. But and you could make the argument the other way around, that when it's the wife staying home taking care of the kids and the husband's career takes off.
Right.
But I think that's completely different. I just don't think it's the same. You know, if now when the wife stays home and puts the husband through med school or something like that, she works to support them while he's going to med school or while he's going to law school or something like that. And then he comes out and he becomes a very successful doctor or lawyer or something. And then he gets rid of her and marries a younger nurse or whatever.
That never happens.
I understand that argument then.
Right.
But on actors and stuff like that, I don't think you should get anything just because you're a bad actor and you made bad movies. You should be penalized. You should be penalized for that.
For making bad movies. So you want to have like a special law just for actors.
Just for actors, yeah. That's right.
I almost feel like you have someone in mind you're trying to signal out here. Are you putting somebody on blast?
Well, no, not exactly. There are some in the examples that I've read that fit that category. You know, there's Madonna and Guy Ritchie.
Well, Guy Ritchie's a great director.
Why did he need her money then?
All his movies are awesome.
Why did he need her money?
He also does jiu-jitsu.
Guy Ritchie, walk away, be a man, just stick to your own money. Don't take Madonna's.
I think he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu now.
Who cares?
He's a good dude.
He wasn't good enough. He wasn't good enough for the material girl.
Well, what is?
Well, not her.
He wasn't living in a material world.
What about Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey, or however you say his name?
I'm still sad about that breakup. Those two were so in love.
No, evidently not very much.
I actually never watched that show.
She didn't know the difference between chicken and tuna.
It's the tuna of the sea.
Yeah, whatever. Sounds like Charles asking the waitress at Shoney's. Well, what's the difference between chicken and fish? One's chicken and one's fish.
Charles asked the waitress that at Shoney's?
Yeah, I took him to dinner one time, and he couldn't decide what he wanted, and we really had the pressure on him. Come on, Charles, pick something. Well, he looks at the waitress. What's the difference between chicken and fish? One's chicken and one's fish. And he just came up and said, would you like some pie for apple pie? We have fresh apple pie for dessert. And he goes, okay. She goes, do you want that heated? He said, okay, I guess I can wait till it cools off. She said, well, you don't have to have it heated. He said, oh, okay, then don't heat it. She said, do you want ice cream on it? He goes, okay, I guess I could scrape it off. Well, you don't have to have ice cream on it.
Was this all during the same?
Yeah, this was all during the same visit.
Charles, anyway,
he's a doctor, for God's sake. You'd have never known it.
And probably what? The
most brilliant person we know.
Yeah, the smartest guy I know, actually.
The smartest guy we know.
Let's throw that out there.
The guy, when he was working at the grocery store during the summers when he was in high school, and the guy told him, boy, you're the sorriest mopper I've ever seen. Anybody who can't mop any better than that, you ain't never going to amount to nothing.
Yeah.
I always wanted to take him back down to Waycross, Georgia, and walk him in the store and say, hey, meet Dr. Meadows.
Yeah, we could probably fill a whole
podcast. But again, I digress.
We could probably fill a whole podcast with Charles stories. child support is generally based on formulas, and most states have a very, very strict formula. They just throw it in there and it pumps it out based on the relative incomes of the spouses. So there's not a lot of variables on that. Alimony is a bit more of a gray area, and it can be kind of argued for, and there's different reasons why. There's different things like the court generally looks at whenever they're looking at alimony. Some of the factors are the length of the marriage. So, for example, if it's a short-term marriage, and it varies by state because there's different case law, and some states even have statutes. But for marriages, generally, they're like less than 7 years. There's probably not going to be any alimony. Marriages and kind of what they call the gray area, and that might be a marriage between like 7, 11, 12 years, something like that. You may be entitled to alimony if there's a pressing reason as to why you should get it. And then for long-term marriages, and that's generally considered something longer than like, 12 or 13, then there's generally going to be alimony awarded.
Well, I may be wrong on this, but I mean, in general, if the man works and the wife stays home and takes care of the kids,
right,
she's going to get alimony if they get divorced.
Right, for the most part.
Because she wasn't working and his income was their income, so she's going to get a portion of that, regardless of the child support.
Right. Yeah, because the child support's for the children.
Right.
The alimony is for the spouse. Spousal right. support alimony. But it depends, too, because if it's a short-term marriage, then, there might not be, like, a real strong argument for alimony. Because the basis of alimony is that one spouse is entitled to something from the other spouse because they gave up something else during the marriage, and that's why they earn less. It's kind of like the whole theory about it. So the longer the marriage is, the bigger that disparity grows. So, and they want to try to keep the different parties in the manner they're accustomed to living, so to speak, to a certain degree.
I think in a lot of divorces, at least amongst common folks, not the actors, but amongst common folks, you can't maintain that standard.
No, it's hard.
A house divided is hard to maintain.
It is. And there's different kinds of alimony. You have like rehabilitative alimony, and that might be an alimony where it's paying for somebody to go to school or something like that to kind of rehabilitate them from the marriage. Temporary alimony might just be like for just a certain amount of time. Maybe a lump sum payment where they just want to like give them a lump sum, say, here's your alimony.
Well, so, I know I've seen it go both ways, and I don't know which way that I come down on that, because I could argue that either way. I've seen ones where I felt like that the wife was shortchanged on that when it's a situation where the husband worked and the wife didn't, and she's barely got enough to get by. And then I've seen other ones where the husband, maybe he doesn't make a lot of money, and the wife, he has to pay such an amount to her, the guy's got to like live out of his car.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are no winners in that. And, it's a shame that it comes to that. And the way our society is built nowadays, you have to have both spouses working.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to get by. There's very few people that can get by on one income. And it's a shame that it's come to that, because I think when in the neighborhood I grew up in, everybody there, the dad worked and the mom stayed home and took care of the kids. And there's very few people I know that can afford to do that anymore. Pretty much everybody I know, both people work.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think growing up, I was kind of in the generation where that was kind of a shift. It shifted because most of my friends that are married and I mean, everybody works.
Right.
There's nobody that stays at home.
Yeah. That was unusual in my day as a kid. The mom stayed home. I remember when they were putting the interstate in behind our house or in our neighborhood, and it was chasing all the snakes out of the woods because they were cutting through the woods there and doing blasting. All these big black snakes were coming up out of the woods. And here was a black snake stretched across a garage door of our next door neighbor's house. Well, all the ladies, they came out and they were all looking at it, trying to figure out what to do, because there were no husbands that were home to take care of this snake on the garage door. So they finally drew straws, and the one that got the short straw buried a hoe right in the middle of the snake there to get rid of it.
Who was that?
I don't remember. It was one of the ladies, but,
I was wondering if it was your mom that had to do it.
No, it wasn't my mom. I remember that. It wasn't her.
Well, your mom, she worked, though.
Well, yes. She was an elected representative.
Yeah.
She was in the legislature for 20 years out of 40.
Yeah.
She was in off and on. We moved around a little bit in between there, and she'd move away and give up her seat, and then she'd move back, and after a few years, run again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she worked. But, see, that was only 3 months a year.
That's true.
So she wasn't really full-time employed, and there was no money involved in that.
Yeah.
I mean, what they paid the legislatures, I think they got like $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
So that was not any kind of income that you would rest your laurels on.
Yeah, but she was working.
She was involved. Yeah, I'm not belittling what she did. I'm just saying as far as income to support a family,
it wasn't
an equitable type situation.
I wasn't implying that. I remember when she took me up to the legislature when I was maybe, I don't know, third or fourth grade or something like that. That was a pretty cool experience.
And she always made sure that she brought my school blue books.
Yes.
So that every class had a blue book.
Yes.
Which was the annual state book that they gave out that listed all the bios on the representatives and things like that. I don't know what all was in there. I know the book was thick and heavy.
Yeah.
Because I had to carry them around and hand them out for.
I think I still have that blue book that she gave to me somewhere.
I'd say they're all digital now.
Probably. Yeah, I don't.
Well, where do we go this time? Did we run down a dead end street?
Yeah.
How are we going to get back?
Let's see.
My mom and dad did not get divorced. So what else can we talk about divorce?
going back to the actual.
Actual topic that we started talking about.
The reason we initially thought this would be an interesting topic is because Tommy and I were commiserating about how sad we were about one of the...
Brangelina!
Brangelina's over.
I can't believe Brangelina. That's unbelievable. The two prettiest people in the world, and they're going to get divorced?
If they can't make it, what hope is there for any of us?
We're just common mugs. Who would want to stay married to us if you can't stay married? They're the two prettiest people in the world. Hell, if Angelina wasn't available, I'd take Brad. That'd be okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be picky.
He's a good-looking dude.
He is. If you got to have a cellmate, he's the guy to have as a cellmate.
Straight to prison, huh?
I'm just thinking about my good handwriting. Oh, that comes later. Never mind.
Yeah, it's really kind of a strange thing. They seem to be like one of those couples in Hollywood that was built to last.
Well, I mean, he left Jennifer Aniston for her.
Right.
And
did he actually leave Jennifer Aniston for her? Was
yeah,
that like the thing?
Yeah, they did the Mr. and Mrs. Smith together, mm-hmm. Brad and Angelina, and they actually started, let's say, seeing each other at that point, and he was still married to Jen.
Yeah.
So the rumor started flying, and of course they denied him for a while, but eventually it came to be known that was a fact, and Jen and Brad got divorced.
Then they exchanged vials of each other's blood.
Yeah, I don't think so. They just lived together for the longest of times. They only got married just in the last few years.
Well, that was the story with Angelina Jolie and Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton.
They exchanged vials of each other's blood.
I got to tell you, anybody that would be mixed up with Billy Bob Thornton, I'd give them some serious, that would give me serious reservations. I got to tell you, he is one whack dude.
Yeah. Bad Santa. Have you seen Bad Santa?
Bad Santa's great.
Yeah.
But he's still a whack dude.
Yes, very whack.
There's movies I've seen him in. I can't believe it's him. Sling Blade? Can you believe that's him?
Yeah.
Give me some of them French fried taters.
You can't talk about Sling Blade and just not automatically go into a Billy Bob Thornton voice imitation there. I mean, I do it too.
French fried taters. Or you got to have your French fried taters.
I would challenge you to talk about that movie and not say that.
You couldn't. He's a weird dude. I don't get it. I don't. She had to have been taking some type of strong medication. Is all I could figure.
Yeah. Well, she's eccentric, I think.
Eccentric.
Well, she kissed her brother during like the Oscars.
Eccentric.
She?
I think that goes beyond eccentric.
I'm trying to be polite here.
She might be a weirdo.
Sorry, Angelina Jolie, if you're listening.
Jolie is listening. I don't think we have to worry about that.
You never know.
Yeah, she downloads our podcast. That's right.
You never know. I'm just saying.
I would be willing to bet that Angelina Jolie does not download our podcast.
She might have free
time. She has never heard of our podcast.
She might have free time on her hands now.
She doesn't have that free of time.
Well, I don't know. Just saying. If you're out there, sorry.
She's not out there. I'm not sorry. I'm not apologizing to someone who doesn't listen. email me and tell me you're listening, and I'll apologize.
Oh, you're going to get so... Our podcasting gets so many emails from...
Angelina Jolie pretenders.
Angelina.Jolie at yahoo.com, because I'm sure...
I've already got Zuckerberg after my ass. I don't think I have to worry about her. But he's got minions.
Yeah.
He's got minions that don't have anything better to do than sit around and listen to this 30 minutes of drivel.
She's adopted minions.
She's adopted minions?
Yeah.
Those aren't adopted minions. Those are kids. There's a difference between minions and kids. You pay minions. Kids are, you don't pay. They take all your money, but you don't pay them.
How many kids? They have like a lot
of
kids.
They got six. They got three of their own, and they've adopted three.
Yeah.
Two of their own are twins.
Hmm.
And they're cute kids. Well, how could they be?
I'm sure.
They didn't have a chance. Genetically, they're superior to the rest of us.
Even the adopted ones, their good lookingness just rubbed off on them.
Yeah. Environment and genetics there. They blended together. But it's still a sad state of affairs. And now she's alleging that Brad is guilty of child abuse. I just can't even imagine that.
Yeah. That's sad. That takes a lot of divorces actually allege that, you know, whether or not, I mean, I'm not saying people falsify it or not, but it's usually brought up a lot of times. And
I picture him as Benjamin Button, the teeny wrinkled baby Button, when he was the old man baby. And I picture that and I say, how could he be that way? There's no way that Brad Benjamin Button, wrinkled little 8-pound, 9-ounce baby, could be a child abuser. There's just no way.
I actually never saw that movie all the way through.
You never saw it all the way through?
No. I know it's a curious case, but that's about all I know about it.
It's a curious Button.
That's all I know about it. I missed that. I missed, what was the other movie? Meet Joe Black. I never saw that all the way.
Meet Joe Black? That was a good one. That was a remake of some other movie, something about death, because that's who he is. He's actually death.
Right.
But that was a good movie. Anthony Hopkins, I think, was in that.
Yeah. He was in Anthony Hopkins in Legends of the Fall.
Oh, Legends of the Fall.
That's a good movie.
That's my definitive Brad Pitt movie.
Yeah.
I loved Legends of the Fall.
It's a good book, too. It was a short novella by that guy, James Harrison.
I try not to read books. I try to just watch movies. That's my literary references. If it's not in a movie and I don't know about it.
Yeah.
I don't read the book first. There's only one movie that I ever read the book first. The Stand. That was the only one I read the book first, and then they made the movie out of it. And people would always say, well, the movie's not as good as the book, so just don't read the book and you won't know. You'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
I have low expectations.
Well, that's like, we were talking to Riley. She's never seen the movie The Princess Bride. And I actually have the book, The Princess Bride, and it's a great book. So I gave her the book, and I thought, should she read the book first or see the movie? Because actually, I don't know a single person that has ever read The Princess Bride before they've seen the movie. So she's kind of like a test subject.
Well, I would say 75% of people don't know there's a book, that they think it's just a movie.
Yeah. The book's really good.
Well, I wouldn't read it. I've already watched the movie, so I have no need to read it.
Well, but if you read the book after seeing the movie, then you picture the characters being the same way as they're presented in the movie, the same.
Well, that's what ruins it for you, though. If you read the book first and you picture them a certain way, and then the movie characters don't look like what you picture, that ruins it for me.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like that Tom Cruise movie that came out not too long ago. What was the name of that?
Eyes Wide Shut.
No, Jack.
My eyes are wide shut anytime I watch a Tom Cruise movie.
Jack Reacher. The Jack Reacher movie.
No, I didn't see it.
If you're reading the Jack Reacher books, Jack Reacher is supposed to be this like 6'5", like monster. And, you know,
Tom Cruise is like 5'5".
Yeah, he's not Jack Reacher's presented in the books. Although I did think the Jack Reacher movie was really good. I liked it. So, well, we kind of switched off and stopped talking about law and now we're talking about movies.
Jack Reacher get divorced?
Jack Reacher never got married, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we started talking about movies, and that's because of Angelina and Brad's significant movie history, huh?
So, we thought it would be kind of fun if one of us took a client. I would take either Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt, and Tommy would take the other, and then we would try to divvy up their movies in an equitable distribution fashion. So who do you want to represent in this?
I'd rather represent Brad. I found after having that discussion, I don't really care for Angelina too much. It's that whole Billy Bob thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
She kind of disgusts me after that.
So I will sign on for Angelina Jolie. You sign on for Brad Pitt. And now...
My cellmate.
Your cellmate.
And not so now, my soulmate.
So now we have a different list of their movies or filmographies here in front of us, and we're going to, what do you think? Let's say our five, and we split up the five. Now you can take one of Angelina Jolie's movies, or you can take Brad Pitt's, but you only get five, and you have to pick the best ones out of this list.
This is
going to be our equitable distribution.
It won't be hard to pick five out of Angelina Jolie's. It'll be hard to pick five out of Brad's.
Okay, well, you can have first pick.
I'm going to have first pick. I got to take Legends of the Fall.
Oh, that's a good one. I am going to take so many good movies on this one. I'm going to go with Angelina Jolie, Gia.
That's for completely the wrong reason. That has nothing to do with her acting skills.
She plays a very convincing role.
I think you're relying on her visuals as opposed to her acting there.
Move on, counselor. Move on. Take your next pick.
All right. I'm going to stick with 1994 as Legends of the Fall was and go with 7.
Ah. Oh, man, I should have gone on the other list.
No. No.
What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box?
All right. Then if you're doing that, then I'm going to go with Snatch, Guy Ritchie, because I like Guy Ritchie, too.
I don't like him. He snatched Madonna's money. That's fine. I will take Inglourious Basterds.
Good one. A River Runs Through It.
You can have A River Runs Through It.
Well,
I will take his other war movie, Fury.
Fury was good.
Fury was great. I loved that movie. I didn't like to see him die in the end, but I liked that movie. Spoiler alert if you didn't see it. 5 years ago.
And I just stole Fight Club from you because I'm taking Fight Club.
It was actually 2 years ago. I thought it was longer ago than that.
I love Fight Club.
I didn't like Fight Club.
Really?
I'm not an Edward Norton fan. Mm. And to find out that Edward Norton was Brad Pitt, that just killed
spoilers.
Me. Spoilers? What is that one? That's like 1999. I'm spoiling it for people that are like under 20.
The internet's an angry place. They might be mad at you.
I don't think they will.
Okay, and so for my next one, I was going to skip your turn. You didn't notice, though.
Oh, well, what did you say after I said Fury?
I said Fight Club.
Oh, well, then you can have it.
Then I distracted you, and I was going to take another one.
I'm going to take the original Ocean's 11.
The original?
Yeah, because there's 12 and 13, but I'm going to take the original
Ocean's 11. Isn't that with, 11. Like, Frank Sinatra?
No, it doesn't have Frank Sinatra.
No, the original Ocean's
Eleven. The original, yeah, but I'm taking the original one with Brad Pitt
and George Clooney
and all
said,
that.
You said the original Ocean's 11, no. So you're taking that one. I'm taking this one.
No, I meant this one. That's not on the list. I'm looking at the list. You printed it out.
Gia wasn't on this list. I had to reach deep for that one.
I don't even think that's a real movie.
It's a movie. Trust me.
I think it's a fantasy of yours.
Look it up.
It's your fantasy movie.
I'm going to finish it out with 7 Years in Tibet, because that was a good movie, too. A lot about...
It's Tibet. It's not Tibet.
What did I say?
Let me figure. You said 7 years in Tibet.
Well, I have.
You're as bad as me. You've been hanging around me too long. Seven years in Tibet.
I have had two beers in my defense. And my twang comes out a little bit.
7 years in Tibet.
I'll take 7 years in Tibet.
That's like the guy that walked in and he walked into the store and then he goes, walked into the fruit store and he goes, "Hey, do y'all have any pecans?" And the guy said, "No, the hardware store's down a couple doors."
Oh, that's funny.
You get it? Pecans?
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if I needed to explain that.
I can't wait to listen to this edit and see if I actually do say Tibet.
You did.
That brings us to our favorite part of the episode.
Legal brief.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we go over legal terms, which we have discussed during the prior show. And we usually, I quiz Tommy, see if he remembers them. Occasionally Tommy will quiz me if he has one that he wants to really try to throw a curveball or a money ball at me.
A money ball. That's another Brad Pitt movie.
It is.
That was okay. I didn't think it was that great. You know, the money ball guy, the real money ball guy is mm-hmm. now working for the Cleveland Browns.
Well, that shows a lot about him.
Yeah, you can't help it when you lose two quarterbacks in two games.
Whatever. It's the Browns. Anyway. sorry to all you Angelina.
Yeah, now you've, now not only is Angelina on the list, now all the Browns fans are. I don't think anybody in Cleveland listens to us anyway.
You never know. Maybe Angelina Jolie is a Browns fan.
That would fit.
Yeah?
Yeah, because so. Billy Bob Thornton is probably a Browns fan.
Man, that's the coldest thing you've ever said to any Browns fan.
Or, you Browns fan. You all probably cheer for Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh. All right, so the first term is equitable distribution.
Equitable, I can't say it, but it means that you have to, the assets get distributed. My mouth isn't working. Assets get distributed in an equitable manner based on who brought what to the marriage.
Right. And then the other term is community property.
And that means it's a 50-50 split.
Everything that comes in is just deemed to be part of marital property and has to be split evenly. The next term is prenuptial.
Prenuptial. That's an agreement that you both sign that outlines, in case you get divorced, who will get what.
Yes.
And not to override state law.
Postnuptial.
That's one that you sign after you get married, but I don't know why anybody would sign that.
They're pretty rare. And the last term is going to be alimony. And for bonus points, if you can describe the different kinds of alimony that I mentioned.
I don't know if I can do that. Alimony is when one spouse pays another spouse a set amount of money because it's deemed equitable that they should pay it for whatever reason. Close enough, yeah, at this point. It's late in the day.
It's getting late. That sounds reasonable to me. That's like an equitable answer. The different kinds I mentioned were temporary, lump sum, rehabilitative, and durational. I know I said durational, but that's one of them.
And drug-induced.
Drug-induced. So the different kinds, like temporary, just be like to help somebody get back on their feet. Rehabilitative would might be if like somebody's going to go back to school or something like that to try to get them more employable so they can become a higher wage earner. Lump sum would be just like one large lump sum at the very end of the divorce decree. And then, it could be just, I guess, permanent where you pay it forever into perpetuity.
Into perpetuity or until death do you part.
From here into oblivion.
All right. Do you know what is considered the five nastiest celebrity divorces?
I don't.
You don't? Number one, Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
Probably don't need to go into the details of that.
No.
Heather Mills and Paul McCartney.
Yes.
You remember that one?
Yes, I do.
That was pretty bad.
That one got really ugly.
Mills went on the attack, calling McCartney abusive and violent, as well as a drug abuser. But the British press came to Sir Paul's defense and labeled Mills a high-class prostitute and a gold digger. Indeed, even attorneys in the case weren't immune from the nastiness of this one during trial. Mills poured a carafe of water over one of McCartney's divorce lawyers. When the divorce became final in 2008, Mills ended up with $48.7 million, like a lot to most of us, but is considerably less than the chunk of McCartney's $800 million in assets that she had been asking for. Number three, Christy Brinkley and Peter Cook.
Peter Cook?
Yep. It's a guy she was married to, if I remember right. I don't know if he was before or after this. He was involved in a helicopter wreck with her, helicopter crash, and they survived. And they got married after that. I think it was a guy, or else she divorced him, got with the helicopter crash guy. I don't know. I'm probably half right.
Half the time you usually are.
But after nearly 10 years of marriage, Brinkley filed for divorce soon after she learned of Cook's affair with his then 18-year-old assistant.
Yeah.
And this breakup started ugly anyway, but it got nastier when Brinkley pushed for public coverage of the trial. They said that Brinkley was portrayed as a bitter, angry woman. And you know what Brinkley's response was? I think a certain amount of anger is perfectly normal. After all, I supported this man for almost 10 years. He never paid for a single thing. He lived a wonderful life. And all the while, he was carrying on like this behind my back. Ouch, goes the report.
It's a woman scorned.
So he had to pay. Brinkley did end up having to pay Cook $2 million. See, that's one of those ones that pisses me off.
That doesn't sound fair.
But she did retain custody of their two children, as well as ownership of all 18 of their properties. Liza Minnelli and David Guest. She used to beat him.
Really?
He said he suffered neurological damage at her hands because she was a violent drunk and used to beat him. So that one got nasty. And then the last one is one that you probably know well. Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the call with his daughter and everything, and the mother put out for publication
when
he was yelling
that.
At his daughter and all that? Yeah, that was a real PR battle for him. And that one is still not completely settled, according to this.
Really?
It's been dragging on since 2002 or something like that.
Those are some great attorney's fees.
Yeah, somebody's getting rich off of it.
Just the attorneys.
Yeah.
Well, divorce is a sad topic.
It is a sad topic.
Not one that is really like.
There are no winners.
No.
Only losers, exactly. Except for the attorneys.
Yeah, the attorneys usually do well.
They come out on top. Yeah. Hey, you know the difference between a lawyer and a catfish?
What's that?
One is a bottom-dwelling scum eater, and the other is a fish.
Well, on that note.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.
Thanks for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you someone who watches every true crime documentary the day that it releases and then find yourself always wanting to know more, Googling the timelines, red flags, and then falling into the social media rabbit hole? Well, I'm here to do all of that for you, bringing the facts, theories, and details that no one else is covering on my hit true crime podcast, Serialistly with Annie Elise. Whether it's everything with the Idaho 4 case now that the documents are unsealed, or shocking cases you've never heard of, packed with love triangles, cults, and twists you won't see coming. With over 1 million downloads a week, I break it down for you just like your best friend would. Serialistly with Annie Elise. New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.